Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. We've got a great show for all of you today. It is another episode of one of our favorites, which is Ask Tim and Julie Anything. And by anything, we do mean anything. Now, just for the record, you can submit a question about anything. Doesn't mean we're going to answer it.
You can try.
Yeah. So don't ask us for the winning lottery numbers. But basically anything that you want to have Julie and I talk about on these special episodes, well, send the question in. 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. Now, Julie, we had a ton of questions, really in the last 2 weeks, but mostly in the last week, about the same topic, which is the commission sharing lawsuits and what effect that actually is going to have now that spring has sprung all over the country. Agents are now waking up to realize that, oh my gosh, what's happened because of this commission sharing lawsuit. So that's what we're going to be focusing in on this week. So Julie?
Yes, that's right. So welcome back to this week's Ask Tim and Julie Harris Anything. Many of the questions, as Tim said, submitted this week were regarding buyer agency, the commission sharing settlement, and the fear that NAR sold members out. So get ready. Today, we're diving deep into the wild world of the National Association of Realtors' proposed settlement. And as Tim said, we put your questions together into, I think, five or six summary questions that answer all of what you were asking. So question number one, does the settlement leave realtors hanging? Did NAR leave agents out to dry? Well, here's the answer, no. And matter of fact, every member of NAR, nearly every member of NAR, is covered by this proposed settlement. You heard that right. Over a million NAR members, state associations, local MLSs, and brokerages with a residential transaction volume of $2 billion or less in the year 2022, they're all off the hook from any terrifying liability claims related to broker commissions.
Now, the next question is going to get into a lot more of the detail, but I want, basically, we put that question first because at the end of the day, that's going to mean that 99.9% of you have nothing to worry about with regards to all of this commission sharing lawsuit business. You have nothing to worry about. Keep your heads down. Get back to work. We've done a lot of podcasts in the past really 3 weeks about this. We've been doing a lot of coaching. We've been doing a lot of training. We've been giving you guys new scripts, objection handlers, everything that you need to be relevant and really to use these changes in the marketplace as a competitive advantage because you've been willing to adapt because you know what to say and how to say it when you're dealing with buyers. Now, the notes from today's show, like every, like all of our notes, are our long form notes. Julie and I take the time to prepare notes because we want to give you those notes so that you can use them. So the notes from today's podcast are available exclusively on harrisrealestatedaily.com, our newsletter. harrisrealestatedaily.com is a newsletter that we are publishing every single day. And it's going to include, obviously, our notes, but in addition to that, a lot of unique, specific content just for newsletter readers. Newsletter is free. You can subscribe now. Just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, or you can click the link below and, subscribe. Now, remember, you put your email address in. That's all it takes. And then the system's going to send you an email, and you have to, what's called double opt-in to the email. In other words, you have to confirm that you want the newsletter. And then after you do that, the first edition will appear in your mailbox. Use these notes for, frankly, if you're a broker, if you're a team, office manager, or maybe you're wanting to share this information with your consumers who've been, their heads have been full of all this misinformation from a lot of the major news media outlets about really what this is all about. Use this information to help you in your business. And it's available for you at harrisrealestatedaily.com. All the notes are ready for you to cut and paste and use to your heart's content. So go ahead and subscribe.
All right. Question number two. My insert the name of a big name broker isn't part of the settlement. Rumors are swirling we might have to close shop. Did NAR sacrifice my broker just because we closed over $2 billion in 2022? What happened here? Well, here's the answer. The reality is that the proposed settlement does exclude brokers who did more than $2 billion in volume in 2022. And the unfortunate fact is that not all of these big brokers will survive. Most real estate brokers, big and small, operate on low to no margins. They make no or virtually no profit from the actual real estate transactions. Their profit comes, for example, from mortgage and title. Now, let's set the record straight. NAR fought tooth and nail to include as many folks as possible in this release. While some big dogs didn't make the cut, they're not exactly crying in their coffee. In fact, many are sitting pretty with thousands of their independent contractor agents getting a get-out-of-jail-free card. So here's a partial list of excluded brokerages. Home Services of America, World Properties, Douglas Elliman, Douglas Elliman Realty, EXP, EXP World Holdings, Hanna Holdings, HomeSmart International, Howard Hanna Real Estate Services, Realty One, Redfin, United Real Estate's United Real Estate, and Weichert.
A lot of the other big names that you guys are familiar with have already settled. REMAX, Keller Williams, and other big brokers have already settled. So, yeah, but the moral of the story is a lot of those brokers, well, we've been in talks with, without mentioning names, but two large brokerages, one with 1,000 agents and another with 5,000 agents, about moving over to EXP Realty. And EXP Realty really is the safe harbor for a lot of brokers and teams that are frankly wanting to not have to worry about these types of things anymore. You know, I'll tell you about some interesting, in your notes there, you were talking about a lot of these big brokers don't make any real money off the real estate transactions. And that's the unfortunate truth a lot of agents don't know about. So just from the sake of your brokers and your team leaders and your office managers, when you guys stomp into their offices and demand a higher commission split, you should know that they're probably already making no money on you. They're making money only off the mortgage and title. So we're in conversations. Now, this broker was, I think, a brokerage with like 500 or 600 agents. And it was a big name. And I'm not going to say anything more than that. And it was a regional broker, right? So they were, again, making no money off the transactions, making all their money off mortgage and title. Well, because of the EXP business structure and because of revenue share, we actually showed them, and it was a very simple spreadsheet, how they actually could be making far more money, not just off mortgage and title, but actually off the real estate transactions because of the way the revenue share works at EXP. So for these brokers and these office managers, I mean, this, and the reason this one's coming to my mind so quickly is because the lady started to basically cry because the brokerage was killing her, really. I mean, at the end of the day, it was so much stress. She was so worried about all the things, it's an expensive, hard business. The old joke in real estate is if you want to be a broke, if you want to be broke, become a broker.
That's right. Well, it was stressful before all of this settlement stuff. You know, they were already operating on low margins, and then you throw all of this on top of it.
Well, there's compression, commission compression, and there's a lot of agent demands because other brokers are sometimes, you know, not necessarily even ethically offering to give buyer leads to agents, all these things, right? And so the business itself isn't what it was. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why so many brokers and teams are moving over to EXP Realty, because the math works, frankly.
It's a simple math problem.
It is a simple math problem, and because it makes so much more sense, not just for the owners, but also for the agents. Because the compelling proposition that EXP offers to agents is going to eventually make it so that, if it's not already, every broker in the country is going to have to realize that EXP's, you know, value proposition to their agents is going to be better, and they're going to have to learn how to compete. Why compete when you can join them? I mean, that's really where that's a huge, colossal, I think, shift that's picking up momentum in the real estate industry that is going to be one of those things where we're looking back 3 to 5 years from now, people are going to say, well, didn't see that coming. Well, you know, it's true. I mean, the movement towards the virtual platform, specifically EXP, is like nothing we've ever seen
since
we've been in the business forever. So yeah, bottom line, guys, is if you're interested in joining EXP, we'd love to have a conversation with you. It makes sense no matter whether you're a new agent, whether you're a seasoned veteran agent, or certainly a huge broker. Text me directly at 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. Question three, Julie.
All right, question number three. This is the one that steams me, to be honest
with
you.
Well, this one, you know, honestly, when I wrote this question, and I was going to remove the first little bit, but I left it in because so many people were citing it, and people were sending me links to the articles, and some, like, I had 10 people send me a video, and it was just, I had to include it because he's earned the right to be included in our notes for today.
Yes, and this was a real thing that actually happened.
Yes.
So, question number three. Why did President Biden and major media state that NAR dictates the commission rates? Why did they say that commissions are set at 6% when everyone knows that's not true?
It is unbelievable that the politicians would and the news media would actually say that, because you know every damn one of them had actually bought and sold real estate before and negotiated on their commissions.
Every stinking one of them.
You know they had.
And I bet you there's some for sale by owners in there too.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's such political pandering. But who are you pandering to?
Anyway.
Answer.
Here's the answer. Time to bust this age-old myth. NAR is not the commission police. They're just here to make sure brokers play nice and communicate those offers of compensation. Whether that's 6% or 0%, it's all negotiable. I know all of you listening know that, but this is a talking point. Some of my coaching clients have said this has come up at some of their parties and things they've gone to with their center of influence. The fact is that commissions have always been negotiable. That is a fact. That's not speculation. It's not opinion. Commissions have always been negotiable.
And when Julie and I mean, everyone everywhere has always had to deal with, you know, different business models offering different rates of commission, or agents even in your own office that were offering different rates of commission. And by the way, the different rates of commission aren't always less. Sometimes they're more.
Yes.
You know, it just is what it is. It's market forces, and it's ultimately the seller that decides what their commission rate's going to be. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, the agent or the broker is not going to negotiate, well, they're not going to get the listing. I mean, there's never been a cabal, I suppose, maybe in some small town a million years ago where there was one broker. I don't know.
Well, sure.
I mean,
what it's called is standard practice that seems to work.
Yeah, well, it's market forces dictating basically how a specific business model is supposed to operate. And if the market forces don't like how the business model is operating, guess what's going to happen? It's not – the business model isn't going to be relevant anymore.
That's called normal.
Right. And it is hilarious that – like the New York Times, I believe it was, that printed that whole article that was so full of misinformation. I'm just going to be completely transparent. The reason it really does – it is kind of soul-crushing for me is because I remember we didn't grow up with any money. We were, you know, I think borderline poor, but my dad always had a subscription to the New York Times and it would get delivered. Now I think about it, it only came on the weekends. Mm-hmm. It was on Sunday, I think, but it was a lot. It wasn't free. And that was a sacrifice financially the family made. Mm-hmm. But he looked forward to it. He read it. And, you know,
I remember that since we've been married since the beginning of time.
I know. Exactly. And so here it is. It's something that used to be such a mainstay of America. And all these forms of media, honestly, I don't even know why they're just so brazenly have been willing. And you guys got to remember, I'm not being political with what I'm saying, even though I did use the president's name. He kind of earned it. The reality of it is that this is an example of the misinformation that is obviously prevalent in major forms of media that's specifically attacking your livelihood.
Well, call it what it is. They lied.
They did. They lied. They lied intentionally to score points with who?
I know. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So we could go on because that does make me mad too. All right. So question number four. I read that NAR is going to have a massive increase in dues to pay for all of this. I read that a lot in social media last week, that they are going to have to raise all of our dues. Should we be bracing for a dues hike? Well, here's the answer. Hold on to your wallets because there's no dues hike on the horizon. NAR is not about to hit you with a sneaky fee bump just because of the settlement. Your pockets are safe. No dues hike, not just for 2024, but also 2025. That's great news.
I think NAR agreed to pay $432 million, but they get to pay it over 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they can figure out how to pay for it other than raising dues.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think this is a good look. We don't carry the water for NAR, but I have come across many, many articles where agents are so misinformed about what NAR actually does to support the industry. And I have to say it's NAR's fault that the industry doesn't know what NAR does. I mean, honestly.
But they do a lot. I use the NAR website on a lot of things when we're talking to the coaches and coaching clients. They've got they have special pricing on some of the things that you guys use.
But that aside, Julie, the whole thing with regards to the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, whether or not commissions could be a part and parcel of a real estate transaction, whether they can be rolled into financing and seen as a seller concession, all the rest of it, NAR is at the forefront of all that happening.
Yes.
And you and I were, you know, basically at the virtual table back during the housing crash. And I remember there was a meeting that NAR, and we interviewed the guy. Mm-hmm. It was before our podcast. It was just a, you know, webinar. But we had him on from NAR. He was, I think, one of the head attorneys. And he said he was not invited to a meeting that was happening with Sheila Baird and the FDIC. And the FDIC, if you guys don't remember this, was responsible for helping to get rid of a lot of the real estate that I forget where it came from, where it channeled from. Maybe it was Fannie Freddie. I don't remember. But so there was a meeting that was happening, and it was amongst all the major banks. And the major banks were in there talking about how to help, the FDIC sell this real estate. And one of the things that the banks had actually already gotten the FDIC to agree to was that they were going to tell the real estate industry what the commissions were going to be on those REO listings. They were going to be the ones that were going to dictate the commission rates. NAR wasn't invited to the meeting. NAR found out about the meeting. Mm-hmm. NAR went to the meeting and got that removed from the legislation. Otherwise, everything would have changed, because if the commissions on those REOs had actually been reduced to probably a flat fee, which was evidently what they were proposing.
There was even some push for it to be cut out altogether.
Exactly. Because why? The banks wanted to actually control the listings, not just and to the point where they wanted to be what amounted to being the listing broker.
Right.
Now, if that had happened, how much would that have changed the real estate industry forever and ever and ever? So do not discount the importance of NAR and what they do to protect the industry, because who else is going to do it if it's not NAR, right?
Yeah, anybody that bashes NAR doesn't know what NAR does for us. So, and you just gave just a few examples. And right. I do remember that was a really big deal. And remember back then, most of these guys didn't live through those housing crash times. It's not like doing a short sale or an REO was an easy process. And to even propose cutting the agents out was just crazy. NAR saved us from that.
Housing because of finance is very much a government subsidized industry. It mm-hmm. just is like most of the major industries. This is a multi-trillion dollar a year industry. And it is very much because of a lot of the lending that happens from the government. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. So whether you think that's right or whether that's wrong, without Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FD, you know, the VA and all the rest of it, a lot of people wouldn't ever be able to buy real estate. And we know that buying real estate is one of the greatest ways for the average American to accumulate wealth over their lifetime. So really, at the end of the day, let's get to question five.
All right. Question number five. Is this the end of the buyer broker business model? Will buyer brokers be forced to take a massive pay cut? Is buyer brokerage dead? As you can see, we get different flavors of the same question. It's all the same thing. Here's the answer. Fear not, buyer brokers. Your payday is still intact. We expect there to be emerging new fee structures for buyer agents. From fixed fee commissions, flat fee, to seller concessions, there's plenty of dough to go around. Buyer agents will need to quickly adapt to the new reality that the buyer agent commission is no longer an entitlement. Buyer broker commissions are going to continue to be largely paid as they have been by the seller as part of the transaction. FHA, VA, and others also appear to be allowing buyer broker commissions to be part of the financing. The demand for top-level buyer brokers is going to only increase. Yes, buyer brokers will have to formalize their approach. We have done many podcasts with you on this. When working with buyers, that's similar to how listing agents work with sellers. So write this down. If you're not working on this, you need to be part of Premier Coaching, because this is what the coaches have been doing ever since this went down. So when we say you're going to have to formalize your approach like you do with sellers, we're talking about a formal presentation, a buyer presentation, presenting their USPs, that's unique selling propositions, and showing your value, and then, of course, getting the signature. So if you're a buyer broker, and many of you are very buyer dominant, you're doing 80 or 90% of your business with buyers, you're going to be fine. So shall we go to question number six?
We can, but really, I wrote this and I can barely, there we go. Question number six actually covers exactly what I was just thinking. So let's go to question six. I'll read it, Jules. So question six, does the settlement end offers of compensation in buyer brokerage co-op? It's funny and it makes perfect sense. All the questions that we received were all buyer agents who are feeding off the misinformation from the major news outlets that they were no longer going to get paid on the transaction. So hopefully we're setting aside a lot of those fears that you guys were feeling. And I understand why you're feeling them, because you are believing what you were reading. And now everyone's kind of, especially because this information is hitting during the spring market, a lot of people are, their heads are full of misinformation. Well, question six and question seven will cover that.
Exactly. So again, does it end offers of compensation and the buyer broker co-op as we know it? Well, the answer is not so fast. Offers of compensation are still on the menu. Sure, you can't dish them out via the MLS anymore, but brokers can have offers to compensate on their websites. We anticipate that there will be a new process, a new system for outside of the MLS for listing agents to let buyer brokers know what the buyer agent co-op is. Maybe that never happens and no process is created. This is all a work in progress, but that's fine. The request for co-op will become part of the buyer's offer to the seller. This is already happening, by the way. The buyer would request the seller pay for the buyer agent commission in the same fashion the buyer asked for the seller to pay any concession. Again, it's just part of the negotiation.
So here, sorry. So here's where I went with this. When the reality of it is that they even, let's just assume that there is going to be no offer to compensate in the MLS, even on broker comments. Let's assume that's true. But brokers can offer to compensate on their own websites. Yes. Now, some, you know, I'm sure somebody's listening and they're going to create this actual widget. And if you are going to create this widget, Julie and I would love to participate because that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. There will be some centralized app that will not be part of the MLS. They'll be outside of this commission sharing lawsuit settlement that's going to then pull in all of the broker websites. And they're probably going to create some sort of, you know, easily accessed from this app. A way of gathering information about what all the co-ops are. So when you're going, and then it's going to probably then mix that information with the MLS information. In other words, this app will effectively become most buyer brokers. That I'm only, you know, guessing about how someone's going to do this.
Sure.
But this app will become what effectively is the app that all buyer brokers will use, maybe in addition to their local MLS, maybe, you know, as separate from their MLS. The reality of it is somebody is going to create, because market forces will dictate it, a way for for sellers to continue to co-op buyer agents because it's in their best interest, and for buyer agents then to know exactly what the co-op is outside of the MLS. In my mind, that's inevitable. Now, even if someone never creates that, we think it's just going to start being written into the contract, just like when you're asking the seller to pay for the home inspection, or you're asking for the seller to pay for all the things that are normally part and parcel of a real estate transaction.
Well, and I'm sure that some brokers will just put it on the home brochure in the brochure box. You know, there's going to be a workaround, and there's almost no possible way that what you describe isn't in the works. So if you're listening right now and you're developing that, or you know someone who does, we'd love to interview them. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, or maybe even invest. 512-758-0206. Well, I mean, I know eXp, all the major brokers, they've got their own off MLS listing sites. And that's unfortunately what's going to happen. It's the irony of it is you know, this happened before Julie and I basically got in the real estate business right when buyer agency started to become a thing. Prior to that, it wasn't really a thing.
It was
sub-agency, exactly. Well, tell them the difference between sub-agency and buyer agency.
Well, sub-agency is, I can't even remember.
Everyone works for the seller.
It literally said that. Everybody works for the seller. And it was kind of an agency confusing thing to present. And then buyer agency came in, and that's when we started doing the exclusive buyer agency.
So nobody actually represented the buyer during sub-agency. Right. Everybody legally represented the seller, which you can imagine what a weirdo experience that was.
Right, even though everybody was negotiating the way we do today.
Right. And so the commissions in now, just similar to the way they were 6 months from now, will become essentially a concession from the seller to the buyer to pay the buyer agent's commission. And even in the, I think, very rare circumstances where the seller won't pay it, then and chances are that the buyer then will be able to finance in what would have been the buyer agent's commissions into the transaction. So there is going to be a lot of very, I think, simple ways of making it so this is a non-issue.
For sure.
Even though the co-ops will not be able to be listed in the MLS anymore. It's just, these are market forces, guys.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's very important that you all understand. The reason that buyer agents exist is because buyers want to use buyer agents. That's why.
Exactly.
I mean, that's at the end of the day. Buyers want to use buyer agents. Buyers want to have an experienced buyer agent that's going to help them through a very stressful you know, real estate transaction, help them find all the things that buyer agents do. Or buyer agents wouldn't exist. If buyer agents did not serve a value in the marketplace, buyer agents would never have been, you know, 50% of all transactions are buyer agent transactions, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, when they're thinking of buying real estate in the United States, they still think, I'm going to hire an agent to represent me. I mean, you know, that's just the natural way of things. And that behavior is not going to change.
And it's also been proven by the Northwest MLS, who went through this in 2019 without the pressure of the settlement. They already made all of these rules in 2019. And by and large, if somebody did an article and studied this, it might have been Altos, that the commissions were virtually unchanged down to, it was like 0.1% difference with all these rules in place, because agents liked how it was working. Their market forces in the Northwest MLS, which by the way is a huge MLS around Seattle, it's pretty much operating business as usual.
Well, it's really, I think, a very obvious thing that buyer agents are relevant and even will become more relevant as the market starts to change and fluctuate. And as all these new buyers enter into the marketplace, the millennial buyers and the generations after that, because everyone's grown up having buyer agents as part of their lives. Maybe that, you know, you were a kid and you saw your parents using a buyer agent. You're going to want that same experience. But the real estate transaction itself, hell, even finding real estate has gotten so difficult in so many markets that that's like in our coaching program, Premier Coaching, a big section is showing, and we've had this section in our, you know, coaching program for years, guys. We've always been teaching agents to use exclusive buyer agency contracts, always been teaching agents to, you know, have a formal presentation where you're showing your value to that prospective buyer. This is all normal for our coaching program and all of our coaches and all of our coaching clients. For many of you, you've never had a formalized approach to working with buyers. It's been, okay, let's meet at Starbucks and I'll open up some doors for you. You've never required them to sign any formats. You've never done anything to try to show your value because after all, you know, working with buyers is mostly a social experience, at least it has been, and working with buyers or working with sellers has been more of a mental experience, physical labor versus mental labor. Now it's all going to be somewhat the same because you're going to have to show your value proposition because one thing does seem to be a permanent part of what we understand the settlement to be. Every single buyer agent will have to have an exclusive contract signed with that buyer, which makes it so the buyer is going to understand what value prop, what your value proposition is and how you're going to be paid. It's going to be very, very clearly laid out. In our opinion, this should have been the way everyone's done business forever because it weeds out the unmotivated buyers.
It does. It's great. I was having a conversation with one of our coaches in training yesterday about that, and we were agreeing that, I mean, look at just this one little thing. Sometimes agents tried to get that signed, and the buyer would say, well, I've also been talking with so-and-so, and they didn't ask me to sign anything. Well, how great is it that you can say, well, we're all required to have it signed, so if they're doing that, they're out of compliance. Do you really want to be having somebody like that represent you when they can't even, you know, follow the rules? So that takes a whole objection off the table. I think it's awesome.
Don't panic about this, guys. It's more, it's business as usual. Focus on what your highest and truest purpose as a real estate professional is, which is being of service to your prospective buyers. Just focus on becoming the best version of yourself as a real estate practitioner and, you know, follow our system with Premier Coaching. You can join Premier Coaching for free. Just go to premiercoaching.com or obviously scroll down below and click the link to join Premier Coaching. It is the easy path for you to not have to worry about creating your own buyer agency, you know, system, process, whatever. Teams, brokers, do this urgently because all these things, all these changes do appear that they will be mandated. Mandated. Everyone has to follow the same system by the end of the year, if not sooner. We're, you know, the July deadline we anticipate to be pushed back towards the end of the year. But the moral of the story is get on this. Do not procrastinate. Question number seven.
Question number seven, last but not least, is NAR guilty? Did NAR break the law? Am I, as an NAR member, part of some sort of illegal conspiracy? Well, here's the answer. Don't believe the hype. NAR standing tall and proud, denying any wrongdoing. This settlement is not an admission of guilt. It's just a smart move to keep the wheels of real estate turning smoothly. So, no, they're not admitting guilt just because they settled. So, there you have it. The truth is out there, and we're here to spill the beans. Keep your eyes peeled and your wits about you because you are in the wild world of real estate, and it's all about knowing the facts and focusing on what truly matters. What truly matters is being of service to others. Now more than ever, it's critical that you know that knowledge is confidence and ignorance equals fear.
I think that summarizes the major concerns that a lot of you had about the commission sharing lawsuit. And if we missed anything, or if we didn't get any of our facts perfectly correct, please do text me at 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. Remember, this is the proposed settlement, so there will be more changes, and we will update you about those changes. Now, in the meantime, we would like to keep doing one of these podcasts every week, but we would love the challenge of varied topics. So if you guys have questions about, I mean, you know, anything really, we want to avoid politics, by all means, avoid politics. But if you have any questions you want Julie and I to address, just text me directly at 512-758-0206. They could be about your mindset. They could be about changing careers, you know, into real estate. They could be about, you know, working with your spouse. They could be about, I don't know, health and wellness, finances, whatever you have questions about, give us a shot. And yeah, we'll you know, I think it would be a lot of fun if we could start having wacky conversations on Fridays.
I'm collecting them, actually. I've got one I'm working on. And this came up, actually, we were talking to Josh at the gym yesterday. I don't know if you were part of that conversation. We were talking about the difference between using leading your decisions with just facts versus trusting your gut and your intuition, and how those two things work hand in hand. And it was very interesting because, you know, he's in real estate as well. But I'm developing that thought to be able to trust yourself, because a lot of what I see agents posting online is like, gosh, this happened, but I'm not sure how to react to it. I'm not sure what I should say. I'm not sure what I should do. And especially if you have any level of experience, as you build your experience, you start to be able to trust your own North Star. So things like that, kind of philosophical mindset, you know, decision making, and, you know, real estate and life kind of coincide. So it's okay. Try out your questions. As Tim said, we're not going to answer all of them, but we will answer things that are not just like about a commission lawsuit.
Well, I guess what I'm what I would secretly love is if we could start maybe have a spinoff podcast, which would be more work.
Fun.
But it would be fun if we could start doing a podcast that was focused on entrepreneurs and small business owners.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because really, at the end of the day, that's what we are, and that's what all of our listeners are outside of the industry.
Yep.
Because you know, when we've been doing this, Julie and I have been doing real estate coaching and training for a little over 20 years, and well, more like 23 years at this point. And we've been married for 33 years. We've been in the real estate industry since we were in our early 20s. So chances are we've probably been there, done that with whatever might be challenging you in your business and personal life. So give us a shot. If you've got any fun questions, 512-758-0206. I just thought of something. We could even talk about French Bulldogs.
We could. I could talk endlessly about Frenchies.
Yeah, so 512-758-0206. In the meantime, have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show. Oh, by the way, thousands of past podcasts. So if you want to continue your listening, just go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or YouTube and listen to your heart's content. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.